You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come to feel what you need when what you really want inside. you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
Our government cares about
they
you.
They ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I'm your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping too the weather was accommodating for you to do, because if it was not and it had to get done, I know, you didn't say put it off. Wait till the weather gets better. No, you did it. That's the kind of brothers and sisters that y'all is. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But, of course, if you can't listen live, you can go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. Timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop-down, you'll see the first one you'll see is African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Special day today, because I'm only doing a portion of the program. Time for an Awakening will have a discussion on reparations at 12. Cornel West will be participating. Of course, Cornel West is running for president, and his running mate, the sister, I can't remember her name, but yeah, so that's what's going to be happening. If in the event that it ends early, then we'll come back on and have more discussion. But if not, you know, this time that we do have will be impactful, as you know. At least I'll try my best to make it so. And it's good to be back, because what's unfortunate is I'm gone again. My good brother, fellow firefighter, Jim Wimbush, he's trying to get to his boat down in St. Augustine, and I agreed to go help him clean it up and so forth. As long as I got a serious-ass vest, a safety vest. And if I got that, even though the boat's in dry dock, I ain't taking no chances. But that's what's going to happen. And then, of course, I'll be back next week. Only on Monday and Wednesday, because Friday I leave for New Orleans for the EDI, and I'll be gone a week. So, once again, family, apologize, but these are some of the things I'm involved in and I'm committed to do. But, of course, believe me, I love doing this. I love trying to awaken our people and impart some knowledge on our people. I love it. So we're going to talk about Malcolm, because yesterday was his birthday, the 99th. And the 99th birth date of the Omawali, Baba Omawali, El Hajj Malik El Shabazz, Malcolm X, Brother Malcolm. Yep, I just call him, Malcolm X. Yeah. Malik Shabazz.
Okay, we are going to read from the Inyasa Sim to 2 days, and believe me, there's so many of them this month that we missed, and we're going to go back over them when that happens next month. Okay, May 19th. When Africans speak of ancestors, they do not speak of all the dead in the family, clan, or tribe. They speak more specifically of those whose lives were examples to their descendants, those who were paragons of moral virtue, or had valorous lives on the battlefield, or made some specific contribution to the ongoing life of their descendants. They are the root of our culture, the guardians of our cultural tradition. Leonard Barrett. Negroes can never be warrior ancestors. They are the dead to be forgotten, except as reminders of what not to become. Their treason is unforgettable, and in some cases, unforgivable. An elder, now ancestor, in our community. Remember, an elder. See, just like I am Baba, an elder, those are titles. Those are given to individuals who have done work within the community or have shown the compassion and righteousness. Okay? An elder, now ancestor in our community, gave us a shining example of what our response to them should be whenever and wherever we have gathered in solemn communion with our ancestors. While pouring libation for us, he also took a moment to pour for them, the treasonous. But instead of pouring their libation in the fertile ground of the space we had gathered together in as we did for us, he would go outside and spit the portion of the liquid he had reserved for them on the dead concrete to welcome them away. Negroes must be dismissed and distanced as we do any contagion. Affirm, as elders and olders. There's a difference between elders and olders. See, I distinguish my ancestors from those who merely died. Affirm, as with elders and olders, I distinguish my ancestors from those who just merely died. May 20th. A single bracelet does not jingle. Congolese proverb. Along with the depth of our spiritual connectedness, Africans are the most family-oriented, centered people on the planet. We place nothing above our children except that which will bring them into existence and allow us to rear them in a way of our ancestors. This does not happen without complementarity coupling, and commitment. Generally speaking, the two most important variables in this effort to produce and rear warriors are national sovereignty and family. However, families cannot exist as a whole. Sane and progressive empowered forces capable of maintaining a sovereign reality without the complementarity coming together of men and women. And to have the responsibility of success, these individuals must have committed themselves to each other as lifelong couples sworn to build children powerful enough to sustain their society. If we are truly nation builders, we have to honestly ask ourselves, what is the best model of who we want to be that can and should pass this on to our children? But not only because we already know the answer. Nation building begins and ends with complementarity. It can only sustain itself and create a viable future through the balance of pairing men and women into married couples whose priority is family and children first. That's why, I don't deal with the issue of homosexuality. Homosexuality, if you are homosexual, that's your business. That's your business. But as far as the Pan-African and the cultural nationalism is concerned, that's not an issue for us. Our issue is men and women together producing family. That's nation building. If we are truly nation builders, we have to honestly ask ourselves, what is the best model of who we want to be and that we can and should pass on to our children? But not only because we already know the answer. Nation building begins and ends with complementarity. It could only sustain itself and create a viable future through the balanced pairing of men and women into married couples whose priority is family and children. To do what is right for the children is to build a whole future. In this respect, those who are setting the revolutionary standard need to ask themselves if their priorities are truly being set in accordance with the will of our ancestors. As Dr. John Henry Clark, Nana Clark, said, if it ain't about nation building, it ain't about nothing. Ashe. Affirm, I am part of a community that nation builds together. Affirm, I am part of a community that nation builds together. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. Yeah, we don't have that much time, family, because the brothers and sisters from Time for an Awakening, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, they're going to have a piece on dealing with reparations. And that's interesting, man, because I think one of them groups is ADOS. I don't want to get into that. Let me go to Malcolm. We don't have that much time. El Haj Malik El Shabazz. You know, I want to read this here because a lot of us, I'm quite sure that our listening audience has a good understanding and knows a lot about Malcolm, what he did. I'm going to play a couple of things, and that right before the 12 o'clock hour, before we turn it over to Brother Elliot and Brother Richard for Time for an Awakening, we're going to play the eulogy done by Ossie Davis. But there's a piece right here that I wanted to read. Common goal of 22 million. This is back in the 60s when it was only about 22 million of us. The common goal of 22 million American Africans is respect as human beings. We can never get civil rights in America until our human rights are first restored. We will never be recognized as citizens there until we first be recognized as humans. Just as the violation of human rights of our brothers and sisters in South Africa and in Angola is an international issue and has brought the races of South Africa and Portugal under attack from all other independent governments at the United Nations, once the miserable plight of the 22 million American Africans is also lifted to the level of human rights, our struggle then becomes an international issue and the direct concern of all other civilized governments. We can take then the racist American government before the world court and have the racists in it exposed and condemned as the criminals that they are. El Haj Malik El Shabazz. Malik Shabazz, Brother Omar Wally, Malcolm X. Yeah. You know, this is the 99th. So next year, the 100, it is going to be huge, family. I just got back in town yesterday, got off the plane, got in the car, and went right to the park. And they had Malcolm X Day. They had it 2 days. I'm quite sure that Saturday was great. But, man, I tell you, it was beautiful on Sunday yesterday. I mean, the weather was tremendous. The children, the people, just packed. I was talking about the Pan-African Federalist Movement. And, of course, Mama Nabantu, I appreciate her. And we addressed the crowd and it was good. And I stayed for a while, of course. And man, you see all kind of people. It is the best crowd, you know. Yep, Malcolm X's birthday. Okay. I want to play some things here because, you know, Malcolm X is dear to me, and I'm quite sure it's dear to you, too, if you are a conscious American African. If you are a conscious American African, you will know that Malcolm, you know. Okay. So sometimes I gotta find stuff, you know what I'm saying, family? Sometimes I just gotta find stuff. No, I don't want that. Oh, man. Because I don't want to play them long, because obviously we don't have that kind of time. So I want to play things that within the time frame that we can talk a little bit about it and so forth. So I got to go this way. Thank you for your indulgence, family. Mm-hmm. That's what I'll do. I just go ahead and put it in, you know what I'm saying? Instead of trying to find it. You know? Okay. So, I don't know about you, dear brothers and sisters. Okay, where's that at? Okay. I don't know. See, and I had a cue, but, some, you know, this stuff, sometimes they don't last long, man, you know? You do it and you go away from it, and then next thing you know, it's something different. Yeah. I wonder if that's just how it goes with this stuff, you know? Okay. So I done put the stuff in, and I have it. So I'm going to go ahead and play it, family. Okay?
They put their club upside your head and then turn around and accuse you of attacking them. Every case of police brutality against a Negro follows the same pattern. They attack you, bust you all upside your mouth, and then take you to court and charge you with assault. What kind of democracy is that? What kind of freedom is that? What kind of social or political system is it when a black man has no voice in court, has no nothing on his side other than what the white man chooses to give? My brothers and sisters, we have to put a stop to this. And it will never be stopped until we stop it ourselves. They attack the victim. And then the criminal who attacked the victim accuses the victim of attacking him. Yes, sir. This is American justice. Yes, sir. That's right. This is American democracy. Yes, sir. And those of you who are familiar with it, yes, know that in America, democracy is hypocrisy. Right. Now, if I'm wrong, put me in jail. Right. But if you can't prove that a democracy is not hypocrisy, then don't put your hands on me. Democracy is hypocrisy. Right. If democracy means freedom, why aren't our people free? Right. If democracy means justice, why don't we have justice? Right. If democracy means equality, why don't we have equality? Right. Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro, that's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? What language did you speak then? What was your name? It couldn't have been Smith or Jones or Bunch or Powell. That wasn't your name. They don't have those kind of names where you and I came from. No, what was your name? And why don't you now know what your name was then? Where did it go? Where did you lose it? Who took it? And how did he take it? What tongue did you speak? How did the man take your tongue? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now? 20 million black people in this country have been like boys in the white man's house. He even calls us boys. Don't care how big you get, he calls you boy. You can be a professor. To him, you're just another boy. I heard him calling Ralph Bunch. Well, he's a good old boy. And if we can't do it, we should hush our mouth. If you can't do for yourself what the white man is doing for himself, don't say you're equal with the white man.
Right.
If you can't set up a factory like he sets up a factory, don't talk that old equality talk.
That's right.
Get off the welfare.
Right.
Get out of that compensation line.
Right.
Be a man.
Right.
Earn what you need for your own family.
Right.
Then your family respects you.
Right.
They are proud to say, that's my father.
That's right.
She's proud to say, that's my husband.
Yeah.
Father means you're taking care of those children.
Right.
Just because you made them, that don't mean you're a father. Anybody can make a baby.
Right.
But anybody can't take care of them.
Right.
Anybody can go and get a woman.
Yeah.
But anybody can't take care of a woman.
Right.
Yes, we hate laziness.
Right.
We hate drunkenness.
Right.
We hate dope addiction.
Right.
We hate nicotine.
Right.
We hate all of the vices that the white man has taught us to partake in.
Right.
And he accuses us of hating him. Why? Because the white man knows you're more dangerous sober than you are drunk. Yes. You are more dangerous sober than you are drunk. He's not worrying about no dancing, singing, clowning Negro. He's worried about you when you stop dancing,
right.
When you stop singing,
right.
When you stop clowning,
right.
And start thinking.
Right.
Then he gets worried.
Right.
And you should keep him worried. And now you know you need someone to teach you to respect your woman. You say, well, what about the white woman? No, you've been respecting her. Every time you see a Negro man, he got his hat off, showing his teeth to some pale-skinned white woman. And the mistake that you and I have made is leaving our women unprotected. Anybody can get to her. Anybody can abuse her. Any old white man can come and pat a black woman. Can he not? And we are teaching the white man keep his hands and his eyes off our women. What makes the so-called Negro unable to stand on his own two feet? He has no self-confidence. He has no proud confidence in his own race. Because the white man destroyed your and my past, destroyed our knowledge of our culture. And by having destroyed it, now we don't know we have any achievements, any accomplishments. And as long as you can be convinced that you never did anything, you can never do anything. This is why the white man, his little children, he tells them about George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, all these white heroes. But we are never taught about any black hero. Only someone we're shown in history is my grandfather was picking cotton. Cotton picking don't move me. No. But when it comes to teaching the black people something about great black men who stood their ground, who were scientists, who were civilizers, who were fathers of culture and civilization, the white man has shrewdly written that role out of the textbook. And today, the effect that it has on you and me, we don't think we can stand on our own two feet. We wake up. We clean up. and we stand up. And once we can stand up like a man on our own feet, we stop begging the white man. And we stop apologizing to the white man. We stop compromising with the white man. Then the world will look at us with recognition and respect. But as long as you run around here wearing the white man's name, bragging about you one of the Jones, or one of the Browns, or one of the Smiths, or as long as you run around here bragging about your part in this so-called American democracy, then you will always be looked down upon as a chump by the white man. You never will be given recognition nor respect. Your problem will continue to go unsolved, and we'll still be in the same rut or ditch a thousand years from now that we're in right now.
It's a good point that Brother Malcolm makes on that. Because we're still, that was in the 60s. Here we are today in the so-called 21st century, almost 25 years into it, and our condition is relatively the same. Our condition is relatively the same. We don't have groups that of us who speak hard about our situation. There's some individuals, there's some smaller groups. You know, I love the conscious community that I was in yesterday with the celebration of Malik Shabazz's 99th birthday at the park. And since I've been here in Atlanta 10 years now, every time they've held it, and of course Marcus Garvey's coming up. African Liberation, now no damn Africa Day. African Liberation Day is next weekend, the 25th. On that date, I saw Brother Johnson. I'm going to have him on the program. He agreed to be on the program for Juneteenth Day. And where they're going to have Juneteenth, it's been around the city of Atlanta here on the weekend. And I think when I looked at it, it'll be celebrated for that weekend, the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, I believe it is. You know. Yeah. So, I don't know, family. I look at this situation, and we should be so much further along. And as Malcolm was saying, at the time of 20-something million, it is believed that we have over maybe 45, 50 million of us here in America. And if we do, we could do so much. We could do so much if we organized, if we're unified, if that we trust one another, believe in one another, share with one another, work with one another. Tremendous amount of things that we could do, from the educational process, developing African-centered schools. That could happen. Businesses, the money that we have. Okay, I understand that the money that we do have, a lot of times is the government jobs that we have, other programs that are there that can provide for us who are in tough situations money. But the reality is we could stand on our own if we understood that's what our priority should be. Believe me, that's what could happen. Yeah. So, trying to catch this other one that we have here. try to find that one.
They like to say I'm a threat to democracy. What that?
Man, I get definitely
like to
don't.
Say I'm a threat to democracy.
Just
what?
See, hear Donald Trump's ass. Man, that's sacrilegious. Man, that man, my whole vibe is gone. And hearing that son of a. Because I'm trying. That's what I should have did. And so we can do this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is the way I seem like I got to do this because I'm lost. You know. They. One thing I do have and ready for, that's Ozzie Davis. Yeah. Brother Ozzie Davis. Brothers and sisters, I hope that where you are, they also had a Malcolm X Day. They had some kind of commemoration that you were able to participate in. You know, I hope that, you know, yeah, I got to spell this out because there's so much here. And a lot of this stuff is kind of long. And so I'm trying to, you know. Inspiring. Okay. Okay, family. I'll be ready here in a minute. And I hope that you did have an opportunity to, okay, here we go, family.
We want freedom by any means necessary. We want justice by any means necessary. We want equality by any means necessary. We want it now, or we don't think anybody should have it.
So whatever kind of action program can be devised to get us the things that are ours by right, then I'm for that kind of action no matter what the action is. I don't think when a man is being criminally treated that some criminal has the right to tell that man what tactics to use to get the criminal off his back. When a criminal starts misusing me, I am going to use whatever is necessary to get that criminal off my back. And the injustice that has been inflicted upon Negroes in this country by Uncle Sam is criminal. Don't blame a cracker in Georgia for your injustices. The government is responsible for the injustices. The government can bring these injustices to heart. And what you and I have to let the man know is we are peaceful people. We are loving people. We love everybody who loves us. But we don't love anybody who doesn't love us. We're nonviolent with people who are nonviolent with us. But we are not nonviolent with anyone who is violent with us.
But when someone attacks you, when someone comes at you with a club, when someone comes at you with a rope, when someone comes at you with a gun, despite the fact that you've done nothing, he tells you, suffer peacefully. Pray for those who use you despitefully. Be long-suffering. And how long can you suffer after suffering for 400 years? The most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman. And as Muslims, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us to respect our women and to protect our women. And the only time a Muslim really gets real violent is when someone goes to molest his woman. We will kill you for our woman. I'm making it plain, yes. We will kill you for our woman. We believe that if the white man will do whatever is necessary to see that his woman gets respect and protection, then you and I will never be recognized as men until we stand up like men and place the same penalty over the head of anyone who puts his filthy hands out to put in the direction of our women.
That whenever a people come to the conclusion that the government which they have supported proves itself unwilling and or proves itself unable to protect our lives and protect our property because we have the wrong color skin, we are not human beings unless we ourselves band together and do whatever, however, whenever is necessary to see that our lives and our property is protected. And I doubt that any person in here would refuse to do the same thing were he in the same position. I'm speaking as a black man from America, which is a racist society. No matter how much you hear it talk about democracy, it's as racist as South Africa or as racist as Portugal or as racist as any other racialist society on this earth. The only difference between it and South Africa preaches separation and practices separation. America preaches integration and practices segregation. This is the only difference. They don't practice what they preach. Whereas South Africa preaches and practices the same thing. I have more respect for a man who lets me know where he stands, even if he's wrong, than the one who comes up like an angel and is nothing but a devil. And the only way we can bring about a change is to talk the kind of language, speak the language that they understand. The racialist never understands a peaceful language. The racialist never understands the nonviolent language. The racialist, he's spoken his language to us for 400 years. We have been the victim of his brutality. We are the ones who face his dogs that tear the flesh from our limbs only because we want to enforce the Supreme Court decision. We are the ones who have our skulls crushed, not by the Ku Klux Klan, but by policemen, only because we want to enforce what they call the Supreme Court decision. We are the ones upon whom water hoses are turned with pressure so hard that it rips the clothes from our back, not men, but the clothes from the backs of women and children. You've seen it yourself. Only because we want to enforce what they call the law. Well, anytime you live in a society supposedly based upon law, and it doesn't enforce its own law because the color of a man's skin happens to be wrong, then I say those people are justified to resort to any means necessary to bring about justice where the government can't give them justice.
Let us remember that we are not brutalized because we're Baptists. We're not brutalized because we're Methodists. We're not brutalized because we're Muslims. We're not brutalized because we're Catholics. We're brutalized because we are black people in America. They put Moses in jail. They put Daniel in jail. Why, you haven't got a man of God in the Bible that wasn't put to jail when they started speaking out against exploitation and oppression. And once the white public is convinced that most of the Negro community is a criminal element, then this automatically paves the way for the police to move into the Negro community, exercising Gestapo tactics, stopping any black man who is on the sidewalk, whether he is guilty or whether he is innocent, whether he is well-dressed or whether he is poorly dressed, whether he is educated or whether he is dumb, whether he's a Christian or whether he's a Muslim. As long as he is black and a member of the Negro community, the white public thinks that the white policeman is justified in going in there and trampling on that man's civil rights and on that man's human rights. Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate? You should ask who taught you to hate being what God gave you. And I, for one, as a Muslim, believe that the white man is intelligent enough. If he were made to realize how black people really feel and how fed up we are without that old compromise and sweet talk. Stop sweet talking it. Tell him how you feel. Tell him how, what kind of hell you've been catching, and let him know that if he's not ready to clean his house up, if he's not ready to clean his house up, he shouldn't have a house. It should catch on fire and burn down.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
By any means necessary. Ashe. Yes, sir. Malcolm Little. El Haj Malik El Shabazz, Brother Omar Wali, a model for the world in terms of us, as a man who would stand up, who would speak. I don't like that term, speak truth to power. I hate that term. Who would speak truth. Very seldom do we have people, and particularly today, you know, there's some people that we know who articulate our situation beautifully and so forth, but yet, you know, they're pretty much beholden to this system. Now, we're going to change over. Before I play Ozzie Davis's eulogy, and that will be the ending of our program. But the National Reparations Leadership, you know, in Washington, D.C., is going to happen today. And with Cornel West, okay, yes, the day before was Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and Sister Emmett Till's family, Priscilla Till, and Silas Muhammad, and Anthony Broder. But today it will be Dr. Cornel West and his running mate, Professor Malena Abdallah, his running mate. Now, I mean it. And so we're going to make this changeover in a minute. But I just want to say this. I can't wait till next year for the 100th. Really make it big. Really shower the life of this man who is truly has. Ozzie Davis says in the eulogy, our prince, our shining black prince, man whose integrity as an adult. I can't speak to the time that he was selling drugs, on the streets being slick, you know, doing whatever he had to do to get by, whatever, hanging with white women. Can't speak to that. But one thing, that by looking at that and then looking at the man he became, you can change. You can change. If you was a suck-ass, kiss-ass Negro, and then suddenly you got a hold of information, you can change. I don't know why I thought of this. I just thought about Nana Clark, Dr. John Henry Clark, when he heard about Malcolm's assassination February 21st, 1965. So he's 39, and he would have been 40 in a few months. That was February, and we're talking about May 19th. And Malcolm's death because Dr. Clark provided Malcolm with a lot of historical information in his discussions or debates. They became very good friends, you know, communicated a lot based upon what Dr. Clark has said and what the books have said, you know. And when he found out that Sunday afternoon, just like me, I'm with my mother and my cousin, and we're driving in Milwaukee, and on the radio, I hear it. And even though at that time, my association to the Nation of Islam was Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay. And that was really was later, because I was just an Ali fan, you know. But yeah, let's go ahead and play the the eulogy. And if you get somebody to deliver the eulogy, tell them not to talk too long. Brothers and sisters, the eulogy of Ossie David. Ossie David.
At this final hour, in this quiet place, Harlem has come to bid farewell to one of its brightest hopes, extinguished now and gone from us forever. For Harlem is where he worked and where he struggled and fought. There are those who will consider it their duty, as friends of the Negro people, to tell us to revile him, to flee even from the presence of his memory, to save ourselves by writing him out of the history of our turbulent times. Many will ask what Harlem finds to honor in this stormy, controversial, and bold young captain, and we will smile. Many will say, turn away, away from this man, for he is not a man, but a demon, a monster, a subverter, and an enemy of the black man. And we will smile. They will say that he is of hate, a fanatic, a racist, who can only bring evil to the cause for which you struggle. And we will answer and say unto them, did you ever talk to Brother Malcolm? Did you ever touch him or have him smile at you? Did you ever really listen to him? Did he ever do a mean thing? Was he ever himself associated with violence or any public disturbance? For if you did, you would know him. And if you knew him, you would know why we must honor him. Malcolm was our manhood, our living black manhood. This was his meaning to his people. And in honoring him, we honor the best in ourselves. However much we differed with him or with each other about him and his value as a man, let his going from us serve only to bring us together now. Consigning these mortal remains to earth, the common mother of all, secure in the knowledge that what we place in the ground is no more now a man, but a seed, which, after the winter of discontent, will come forth again to meet us, and we shall know him then for what he was and is, a prince, our own black shining prince, who did not hesitate to die because he loved us so.
Anytime you beg another man to set you free, you will never be free. Freedom is something that you have to do for yourself.
I say, brothers and sisters, I thank you. Turn the program over to Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard for the the reparations piece. So, brothers and sisters, hopefully, well, I won't be here Wednesday or Friday, but, you know, Brother Kwaku will probably put some on, or Brother Irv will be on, because, I look forward to Brother Irv Lewis, my best friend, one of good friends. So we end this program like we end all of our program with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Peace, family.